Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Sports Card Live. With Sports Card Radio's Ryan Tedders, Colin Tedders, MojoBreak.com's Dan Anderson, and your host, Doug Caskey. Dig it.
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. We're going 19 innings like the A's Angels. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We're going to touch on the 2013 NFL Draft, give you our thoughts as we head into, you know, new 2013 releases for product. And we're going to take a look back and we're going to review 2012 products and give awards out to winners, losers, cheers, jeers, whatever you may call it. So we're going to touch on that. We're going to hit a little 2013 Bowman preferred basketball, and then we're just going to see where the rest of the show leads us. I'm here with Dan and Ryan. What's going on, guys?
What up?
Shoot, not much, man. Any of you guys catch that 19-inning game yesterday, A's and Angels?
Not at all. No, I did not.
Yeah, I had no idea about it. I was leaving band practice last night, and I checked Twitter, and I'm like, come on, people are talking about, like, a game going on still. I'm like, what the hell? But I don't know. Where did it go? Did it go, like, 18 or 19 innings?
19, and it's, yeah, the A's wound up winning in 19, but the game was on till 1:30 Pacific time. So, you know, that's the only crazy thing about baseball. I know you can't change that rule, but my thing is when your team goes 19 strong, prepare for, like, 2 weeks of bullpen being exhausted, players needing days off, and I believe three guys got injured. I think Coco Crisp pulled a hammy. So, I mean, that's the only bummer about baseball. When you go to those extra inning games, I mean, a 25-man roster, you're kind of against it there. I mean, you're going to go through those pitchers like nothing. I'm surprised they didn't have, Cespedes start throwing some pitches or something. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, but it's baseball. Think about if you went 3 or 4 overtimes in a hockey game in a playoff game. Now that's working out right there. Like, you know, I know baseball, I mean, you are running around and, you know, pitchers, I mean, that's a hell of a workout. But those hockey guys, like, during the playoffs, that's intense, man.
Yeah, a lot more running around. Baseball does seem a little bit lazier of a sport compared to that, but those guys play 162 games, so they're in it for the long haul, and they got to condition their bodies, and throwing a 19-inning game up in the mix kind of slows down your mojo, no pun intended.
Word.
So, speaking of baseball, the rapper Redemption is back. No surprise, 2013 Bowman, they're doing another Blue Wave rapper Redemption packs this year as well, with the HDA and the hobby version. So they just announced that, I believe, today. You know, I've always wondered, and maybe Ryan, you have some insight on this. Why do they need the packs back? Is it help them count how many boxes sold early? Do they recycle the packs? I mean, what's the point of them getting the packs back?
I guess just proof of purchase. That's the only thing I can think of, is that it's just the only real way to prove a purchase. The same way when you like missing hits on a box and you've got to send a UPC code and stuff, just so that they can know that, you know, you got shorted on a hobby box and you didn't just go to Target thinking that you were going to get 2 autographs and 2 relics from a $20 box or something. So that's the only thing I can think, is just proof of purchase. I don't think they sit there and actually count them. I bet you could get away with kind of shorting them a couple of wrappers here and there. There's probably all sorts of little tricks people try and stuff. The problem is they don't ever tell you when the cutoff is. They do a really poor job at that. I mean, their Facebook wall, you go to their Facebook, Tops Facebook page, and it's just littered with people who are talking about either, A, the Top Series 1 wrapper redemption that they're way too late on and they still think they're getting packs for, and they're never going to get any packs, or B, the the million-dollar chase game or whatever. That's got all sorts of glitches and stuff. So we'll see how the Bowman wrapper – it's going to go quick. I mean, people open those, like, 50 cases of Bowman and stuff. So those wrapper redemptions are going to go lightning fast. I mean, you got to send them in within the first week and a half or you got no shot.
I heard if it's not post-dated by like May 8th, then you're not going to get any packs. And it's like 10 per household or 10 packs per whole. I think 10 jumbo packs gets you one pack.
Right.
It may be only like one. I think it's like you could send in 10 packs per household.
It's 10 HTA packs or 36. I'm sorry, 24 hobby, 10 HTA, or 36 retail, and it's limit 10, and it's limit 10 per house, 10 blue wave. So you can only if you did 50 cases, you can only get 10 packs worth, and it has to be postmarked after May 8th. So people that get products
after May 8th, okay.
Yeah,
I was like, because I'm all damn. I'm like, when does it come out? It comes out like
May 8th.
I'm like, yeah, you got to get it in like a couple hours after the product releases. You got to get it, or you're just not going to happen.
Better start waiting in line at Target right now just to make sure you check and see when they're going to put that stuff out, man. Get your packs.
All right, yeah, because that makes sense. Because I think they had people were getting the product early, and they were getting like 50 or 75 cases, however many cases they were busting, and they were like getting those in before anybody else even had the product. I remember that. I think it was like probably a year ago when they had that big ordeal, and that's cool. They're like taking steps to fix the problems, fix the issues. I like it.
Yeah, I it's a learn as they go, it seems like. Yeah, I remember the first year, there was people that literally busted on the first day and they didn't get packs. Like they didn't send it out the first day, they sent it out the second day or whatever. You know, you're probably busting it when you get home from work, you know. Drinking a couple beers, busting some cards, then you get up in the morning, you head down to the post office. It's too late. Can't get no Bowman. Can't get your Blue Wave. So, you know. But it looks like they got autographs and short prints, just like they did last year. So those I think it's Correa and Buxton will be in there, Blue Wave style. So those cards will be on fire when they come out. So people will be chasing those. So I just always wondered if they actually just throw those things away or recycle them of some way. I'm sure there's a way to recycle the packs and then use them for new packs. It's got to be some sort of way.
Yeah.
Because then I was thinking, well, why don't you just send in your box code instead of sending all the packs? But then there, I guess there is people that go to the local card store, maybe buy five packs here, five packs there, five packs here, five packs there. So maybe they don't have an empty box. Because that would be a lot easier than trying to collect the packs. I know we send them in. We basically said at Mojo Break, we send them in, and then we do the packs for the people that were in that same break. So we have to, for us, though, it's always like collecting all the packs off the ground, make sure they don't get in the garbage, counting them, make sure they, you know, we have enough, and it's kind of a pain. It would be nice if you could just show them that you have a receipt or something rather than have to send in these packs. It would be, go online or something, but... maybe the only true way to make sure that it's legitimate that you bought these packs is to actually have the packs. But so that's cool. Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty good. Bowman 2013 is going to be coming out next, well, I guess it's next weekend, next Wednesday. Sports Card Radio does have the initial checklist up. And I know we talked about this off air. It looks like there's going to be a few guys that are going to drive it. You got Buxton, Correa, the top one and two picks are going to be in the set. And that's going to be pretty much their first auto besides their Aflacs and their USA and their or actually it's Under Armour. And then they were in Elite, too. So it's going to be their first in their jersey auto. So those should sell for well. But, Dan, what do you think? Without Harper, I mean, years before we've had Harper, we've had Strasburg. So we've had these big names. What do you think this year? I mean, do you think one of these guys is going to emerge?
There's always going to be somebody who's going to emerge. There's always going to be someone who's collectible, who's going to drive up a product. I don't think it's going to be like Harper or Strasburg, but there's going to be guys who are going to be like sought after guys who are going to drive up the product. I think the Harper and Strasburg, I mean, that's like, those are two guys who are like once in generation, like talents, like a pitcher and a hitter. So, I mean, I don't think there's going to be anybody like that, but there's going to be guys who are definitely going to drive up the product. And it may not spike like it has been the last couple of years, but it'll definitely hold its value. And, you know, even if it does, like, you know, stay pat with what it comes out and it doesn't go up at all, it always will go up after, like, say 3 years down the road. People go back and they look at that product, and a lot of these guys are starting to make the majors, so they start searching for the product that was the first year they came out, if that makes sense. I'm, like, trying to gather my thoughts here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm looking at the prospect autograph checklist, and there's some confusing guys on the list. They got Tawan Walker in the prospect category here, and I mean, that guy's been in like three or four different sets already, so it's interesting that they threw him into this, as well as Oswaldo Arcia. He was in platinum last year. You got a few guys that have been in some sets already. There was another one I saw. I'm looking at the checklist here. Roman Quinn has been in a few sets already. So I think the real big ticket this year is going to be the rookie autographs. The rookie autographs is really, really strong. You got Dylan Bundy, Darren Ruff, Mike Old, Manny Machado, Jerkson Profar, Shelby Miller, and Tyler Skaggs. So once again, granted, these guys' prospect autos have been in everything, but this is going to be their rookie card auto, their Bowman rookie card auto. So there should be some value from those. And, of course, they threw in, you know, versions of Trout. Me and Ryan talked about the box toppers. They're having these box toppers this year, which are oversized cards. And they're 1948 designs. They're numbered to 20, and it's Harper, Trout, Bundy, Correa, and Buxton. But personally, I mean, I think the cards look a little bit lame because it's an oversized card and it's a sticker auto on a big-ass card. So, I don't know. We'll have to see them in person if we get one. We probably won't get one because they're so serial numbered so low, but we shall see. What do you think about looking at the set, doing some research, Ryan? I mean, what do you think? Is there anything different this year than compared to last year?
There might be a few little added wrinkles. I know they had like a top 100 list with ranking the players 1 to 100, and that'll be just like an extra little insert set. You know, all it takes is a couple of these guys to get hot, and it'll push the set up a little bit. Like Dan said, there's nobody going to be to the level of Strasburg and Harper that's going to kind of drive this product. But it could sell still very well. Like you said, the rookies are very nice. Good checklist on the rookies. And autograph hunters love this set, not for the autographs in the product, but they love getting the base cards because then that's what they take to the stadium and get autographed. And Bowman's kind of one of the quintessential kind of cards you always see. I always see at minor league games people trying to get somebody to sign 10 Bowman cards right there on the spot. So I'm always a little surprised with Bowman and why they don't take it a little further, or maybe have a sub-brand of Bowman where they don't take it a little further. These guys will sign autographs for nothing, these minor league guys. And you don't have to load it up with a bunch of questionable, you know, no-name guys. There are plenty of guys who are kind of fringe relief pitchers, you know, guys like that, to that, you know, it doesn't take much to find out, you know what, this guy does have a shot to reach the major leagues. This guy doesn't. And you could get autographs of these minor leaguers for, God, it's got to be pennies. These guys will sign for nothing. I mean, Addison Russell practically has an autograph session before each game for free. I mean, I've seen him sign like 20 things for people and stuff. And Addison Russell's autograph sells for 20, 40 bucks usually, so on just a base autograph. So I don't know why they don't aggressively pursue this a little more, because the prospect cards are so big. They're in baseball, and they could go so much further with it, because I can just see it, how cheap these guys would sign autographs for or give a jersey. I mean, I literally have five game-used jerseys, minor league jerseys, sitting in my closet, game-used, you know, with dirt on them and everything that I bought for relatively nothing. So I have game-used bats that I bought for 10 bucks each of prospects, of people that, you know, we've actually heard of. So, I don't know. I like Bowman. I like what has happened to it in the last couple of years. It's gotten so hot, and Bryce Harper and Strasburg. So, I hope this year will be the same. All it's going to take is a couple of these guys, Buxton or Correa, one of these guys, to get hot, and it'll drive sales. And I'm sure people will be collecting it.
Yeah, and yeah, it's interesting. Maybe that's why they're hiring Bowman scouts, because maybe they don't have somebody up there that's really keen on, you know, which guys they should get in the set. Like you said, yeah, a lot of these things, like Max Muncy, like Elite Donruss. Obviously, Panini has somebody doing some scouting, because the guys that get in Elite, you know, they have stuff way before any of these Topps guys have them. I mean, you might not see a Max Muncy card in Topps for a couple years until he kind of, you know, maybe moves up to AAA. But another thing that I was noticing that's interesting, and I can't picture this card. I'd love to see a picture of this card. So it's called the Ultimate Prospect Autograph. And it's there's serial number to 5, and there's 25 guys on one card. So it doesn't state that it's a book card, but it's Colton Wong, Gausman, DeShields, Crone, Singleton, Walker, Dahl, Zunino, Buxton, Tayon, Bichette, Sager, Almora, Castellanos, Reimer Liriano, Tavares, Profar, Billy Hamilton, Carlos Correa, Caleb Cowart, Anthony Rendon, Javier Baez, Lindor, and Bundy. So it's like the top 25 prospects all on one card. So I can only imagine it. Maybe it's a double-sided card. It's got to be a book card or an oversized card.
Yeah.
For that. It says it's a redemption, so it's got to be are these guys, little tiny autographs or what? I mean, I can't picture one card with all these guys on there, like Micro Machine autographs of some sort. But the Lucky 5 redemptions are back, too. I know last year they had Cespedes in there and Harper, and I believe Trout was one of them. So there's going to be 5 different guys, and they'll lead us on. They probably will name one within the first couple weeks, and then the second one will be 3 weeks later. Or then they might pull what they did last year and name like 3 in 2 days, but we'll see. So it's going to be exciting. You know, they brought Black Ice autographs. Do you know what those are numbered to?
I have no idea. And that wasn't even what they called them. They called them something else, Black something. Then I looked around and I was like, you know what? I think these are going to be, I don't know. So that kind of, you know, they have the silver ice, and then they have the kind of, I think it's going to be black.
Purple,
I don't
ice.
Know. I have to wait till the cards come out, and then when I see one, I'll look at it, see if it has any distinguishing marks on the back or something that actually calls it something. But I can't remember what Topps called them on their checklist. Black something parallel. But then they had the black autographs, so they weren't those. It was something totally different.
Yeah. And it looks like they pretty good checklist there, too. Zach Wheeler, David Dahl, Joey Gallo, Billy Hamilton again, Zunino, Fried, Machado, Almora. So, you know,
those will be hard to get.
Yeah, those are going to be hard to get. If the prospects don't hit, they got these guys. And it looks like they're having a Blue Sapphire autographs, too.
Old school.
They got a few old school guys and some like Matt Cain's in there, Hank Aaron. So it's a reprint of their first Bowman card, and it's signed. And so we'll have to see what the serial numbering is on that. Probably 20 or less, I would assume. But it looks
really
like
hard.
Al Kaline,
yeah, really hard.
Yeah. Al Kaline, Bryce Harper, Matt Cain, Matt Holliday, Josh Hamilton, Willie Mays, Warren Spahn, Adrian Gonzalez. So it's a pretty good checklist there. They got that Mariano Rivera wearing those pants that are up to his chest Bowman card there. The Under Armour's back, so it should be pretty fun. We should see what kind of buzz it gets. It's going to light up the hobby next week for sure. And Topps has their allocation techniques as always, and we're all getting, you know, less jumbos than hobby, and jumbos are going to jump up to probably $200 right away, and we'll see how that goes. But should be fun, good time, baseball, right? Yep. The first quarter of baseball, and you know. So it should be pretty cool. But what do you guys think of this? Moving on to football, we'll kind of get into some draft talk. What do you guys think of this Leon Sandcastle thing? Do you think it's a ploy because they don't think the rookie class is going to be strong? Well, what do you think about doing, you know, Deion on these cards?
Well, is it going to be Deion, like, because in the commercial he's being drafted by Kansas City, right?
Correct.
Is it going to be Deion holding up a Kansas City jersey or something like that? Or
I've seen that.
Topps is doing it too. So it's going to be both Topps and Panini. I think they're just trying to add value. I think it's cool. I mean, it's, you know, throws a little pop culture into it, a little Deion prime time. I think they're just trying to add value. I think it's a good idea, though.
What do you think, Ryan?
if this is all they have planned is to get Deion Sanders, I mean, they should just get Deion Sanders and sign autographs. And speaking of the rookie premiere and stuff, I was talking to my brother. I was like, you know what they really need is a veteran Hall of Fame premiere, and get Barry Sanders, Joe Montana, Steve Young, Deion Sanders, get 35 of the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, somehow, some way, get all those guys together and get them to sign autographs for the sets, because if this is what they're going to do to try to sell cards, I mean, maybe this is just the first thing that you know, and how, I guess they're going to have autographs too. Is he going to sign it Deion Sanders, or is he going to sign it Leon Sandcastle? That's what I don't really
I was wondering
understand.
The same thing.
I mean, the NFL Network hit it out of the park with that Super Bowl, because this all, I think, originated from a Super Bowl commercial. So they pay, all these companies pay millions and millions of dollars for these stupid Super Bowl commercials, and the only one we remember here 3 or 4 months later is the Leon Sandcastle one, and now he's going to get all this run in these football card sets. I don't know. I think it's Deion is interesting as it is. Deion's just kind of a magnetic, kind of interesting guy, so I don't mind having some Deion in there. I would hope that they stop at score and stop at whatever set Topps is planning to use him in, and just stop it there. Let's not have Leon Sandcastle like every set or whatever. So
they brought up a good point in the chat. Are we going to start having Grandma Ma cards and Uncle Drew from Kyrie? Ryan says,
"Yeah, that's basically what it is. Yeah, Little Kenny or something. I mean, that's basically what it is. It's a caricature of Deion. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, I know LeBron James had a few. I can't think of the name, but he had a few commercials where he played like his whole family and stuff. You know." But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a point. But, I love that idea of an NFL veteran legend rookie – or not a rookie, obviously, but a veteran premiere. That would be sick, man. Like, guys that maybe haven't really signed for a while, hey, they're going to be in these products. It's like maybe it's a program that's in all their products, that they're only numbered to 25, but they're going to be in all the sets. You can get these guys. It's one card design, kind of like how Topps does their – rookie premier cards, how they're in every Topps product. They're just hard to find. You could do that with some veterans, some legends, and put them across the sets, number them to like 50 or something, make them super hard to pull, but just unique cards. That'd be kind of cool.
It would be nice to see those legends that we don't usually see, because we always, like in the higher end products, you always see like Elway, and you always see Steve Young and Rice
Montana.
And we see some Watt, and I mean, I love having those guys in the sets, but like, how about going for like, I think I brought up like Chris Carter. I never pulled a Chris Carter auto. Like, he was pretty good. I mean, how about the guys who like, you know, maybe not like, I mean, there's tons and tons of guys who played, and I mean, just get like a crop of those guys and put them in a product. And I mean, add value, especially like, for the teams that've been around for a while, like the teams that do have legends, like the Bears. I know there's like Walter Payton cut, and I know there's a bunch of like Gale Sayers, but like Richard Dent and like stuff like that, like guys who like Jim McMahon autos,
Mike Singletary, not in a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
He wants winners, you know. But even T.O. or Randy Moss have been absent for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, even bring up O.J. Simpson. I mean, maybe they don't want to cross that line, but I'm sure O.J. needs some money, and there's still some Bills collectors. He was on the Niners, too. There might be some Niners that want some O.J. Simpson ball relic cards. You know? Murder relic. No. Taking it too far. Yeah, there's a lot of guys out there. We could go on for days. That, they just bring it in, do some research. I mean, they started to do, like, Prism Baseball was one of the sets that we talked about with Tracy last week, where they were bringing some guys that weren't in a lot of sets. Seemed like they did some research. It's like, you know, sometimes we're tired of the same old veterans, legends in every set. And that's why I actually purchased a Jerry Rice auto from Five Star, number 75, two-color jersey. I got it for, like, $110. There's no value because there's so many of them. He signs for everything. So let's get these guys out of cards for a little while, or make them real short print, and I don't know, you know, bring in some guys like we just talked about that aren't in every set. But maybe that's the card snob in us talking because we see so much product. Maybe the Jerry Rice that someone pulls is the only Jerry Rice they'll ever pull. So it's, we just maybe see so much product that we're like, we see these guys over and over again.
But so in higher end products, I think Jerry Rice is pretty much on every checklist of,
yeah.
Everything, depending on what it is. I mean, sometimes it's number to five, but I mean, in five star, like you said, it's like, what, number to 75? I mean, it seems like every year there's Jerry Rice stuff, and every year there's Elway, and it's like the same crop of like legends that they just keep on using over and over and over. You know, spice it up a little bit. Put some guys in there that you don't usually put in there. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I know this will never happen with the collegiate licensing, but I mean, you could almost do like a Bowman set with Johnny Manziel and prospect football players. But I think with collegiate licensing, there's just no, you can't give these guys money. And so I don't think that'll ever happen. And I know Upper Deck has a collegiate license, but they can't have guys that are currently in college. And that's why Leaf had that little Johnny Manziel weird, you know, sketch drawing auto that they came out with, because they can't have a picture or they can't give them any money because they're in college. But I mean, what if we had some more prospect sets of football players down the line, if they could get some agreement and, you know, maybe the money that maybe they signed for, maybe they donate, or, you know, maybe the money's theirs after they get out of college, they don't give it to them right away. I don't know. That would be interesting. Getting a Johnny Manziel now while he's still in college and just, you know, holding on to it like a prospect. But I don't know, maybe baseball and football, you can't compare prospects. You know, obviously you're in a system for baseball for several years as opposed to college.
That would be interesting that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know with money. Like, obviously Reggie Bush got busted for taking money, and they're always looking at guys getting, you know, Cadillacs and stuff while they're still in college. So signing a guy to a card contract is probably a no-no, and that's probably why they don't do it. I don't know the logistics behind it, but.
They could just start paying these college players and get it over with.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get paid anyway, right? He's already your first, you know, Monte Teo. Everybody knew he was going to be drafted, you know, before the scandal. Barkley, we knew he was going to be drafted. Geno Smith, we knew he was going to be drafted. And I'm sure these guys, card companies, know who rookie premier guys were before. So,
yeah.
But moving into the rookie draft and looking forward to the rookie premier, what did you guys think of the draft? Ryan, you want to start it off? Maybe some things that you've seen that you didn't expect, maybe some players you think are going to hit early for the 2013 NFL rookie draft class?
Well, I thought it was a fun draft to watch. It was interesting. You had no idea who was going to be picked on multiple levels, because, A, a lot of these guys are 6'5" linemen that you never hear of anyways and probably will never hear of again. And there was some surprises. I mean, Buffalo going E.J. Manuel, first quarterback off the board. It was really the first quarterback till in the first round, and then until day two. Geno Smith, you know, making the huge mistake. You can't go to the NFL draft if you don't know you're going to be unless you're Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin. I mean, one of those guys. Just don't show up to the draft unless
right.
you know for a fact you are getting picked in that first round. So it's really
right.
bad on his part. He's lucky he had I was wondering, because he didn't get picked, I was like, well, he can't come back. They were saying, oh, he's not going to come back the second day. I was like, yeah, that's because he doesn't have a suit. I mean, those suits are expensive. He hasn't gotten a lot of money yet. He probably loaned some money from his agent and all that stuff. Takes a long time. So the next day he actually did come back, but it was a sweater. He went with a sweater vest over the shirt and tie combo. He literally didn't have a second suit. So just goes to show. And he lost a lot of money, too, getting picked in the second round. I thought it was an interesting draft. You know, the Rams, I mean, Dan, hey, Tavon Austin, he should be very impressive. The Steelers got a running back in the second round who I think everybody should be aware of, more so than Eddie Lacy. I keep hearing about all this Eddie Lacy stuff. I've watched a lot of Packer games the last 2 or 3 years. They're not going to run Eddie Lacy 20 carries. Eddie Lacy's going to get his little five to 12 carries a game max. They drafted another running back. They're going to bring some veterans in.
He's not, and Aaron Rodgers just stands back there and throws the whole time. So I wouldn't expect, I would sell right now on Eddie Lacy because I don't see him being like this huge revelation or putting up huge numbers. He's going to have a good game or two, but the Packers run a different style of offense. It's almost like the Patriots. They're not, you're never going to have a running back get off for 1,500 yards in a season. It's just not going to happen. But the running back for the Steelers, I think his last name is Bell, Le'Veon Bell or something like that. He's going to get off because they don't have anybody there. That's a totally right. opposite situation. They're going to run the ball a little bit more. They need a running back really badly, whereas Green Bay, I don't think needed a running back really that badly because they never run the ball really, and that's not a part of their game plan. There's a lot of third-round pick wide receivers, fourth-round pick running backs, so we'll just have to wait and see. The Bengals loaded up on a couple skill position players. They got the Giovanni Bernard running back in the second round. They got the Notre Dame tight end in the first round. So not a whole lot of sizzle, but I think we kind of everybody kind of knew that coming in. And we'll see how it all plays out on the field.
Yeah, it was kind of like mind-numbing watching the first round. I mean, I'll say it here first. I'm not a very big college guy. I used to always work Saturdays until, you know, I do Mojo Break full-time. So I do have Saturdays off now. But I just had just gotten the routine of not really keeping up with college, just got some of the big games. So, you know, I only knew a handful of names that came out of the draft. And, you know, we heard all those rumblings of Jockel and Fisher going first. And that's what happened. Fisher first, Jockel second. So two offensive tackles, and I think that's the first time since like 1968 that two offensive tackles have been picked back to back. So, and you know what people don't really realize is, yes, there was a lot of offensive linemen taken in the first round, but what this may do is now these teams that needed these offensive linemen, there might be guys from last year, receivers, running backs. Now they got protection, they got a good line. There might be some standout guys. I mean, even some of these third or fourth round guys that are coming for the Jaguars and Chiefs, they've got these, you know, can't miss offensive tackles now. It might open up some big holes. You might see some players that just come out of nowhere and be stars because of all these offensive linemen that got drafted. They're saying this is like one of the biggest offensive lineman drafts ever. Just so much talent, so much, you know, beef coming out of this draft. I mean, you're talking about 6'6", 6'7", 300-pound guys that are running 40s, like, faster than me, you know, just running 40s faster than most guys. So, I mean, big, fast, strong guys that are protecting these teams now that, you know, Blind Side, you know, you've seen the movie The Blind Side. I mean, that's a lot of these guys are investing to protect their quarterbacks now. So it'll be interesting, but I think the Rams hit a home run with as much as I clowned on Tavon Austin being, you know, mini-me from the Austin Power movies, you know, he's just going to run under people's legs. I think the guy's got incredible speed. I think he's going to be the breakout. Obviously, the draft shows he was drafted eighth. The Rams moved up. Derek Fisher's not a dummy, so he moved up. EJ Manuel is a little bit questionable, but he's 6'5". You know, he's a big boy. He can take some hits. Niners, I think, and this might be a homer pick, but, you know, the Niners basically just put Latimer in their pocket and said, we're going to hold on to you for a year or two because we don't need you. So rehab, you'll be all right. I mean, that guy was a potential first round pick before the injury. So
yeah, if he, if he doesn't sign a contract with the Niners, he can go back to college because he missed all of like his last season. I was reading something that like if he doesn't sign, I gotta read up on it again. But I was talking to somebody and I was reading about it that, I mean, if you miss, maybe he was redshirted his first year or something like that, so he didn't play enough years. And since he didn't play last year, I guess I don't know. There's something where I think if he doesn't sign with the Niners, he can go back.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah, I think basketball is the complete opposite. Once you declare for the draft, you can't go back to college, right?
Yeah. But I think there was like it had something to do with him missing a lot of time because he got hurt. And yeah, I don't think he had 4 years in college.
Well, he's determined. I didn't like how Geno Smith handled himself, though, personally. I mean, you know, I think it should be about just getting to play for a team. It doesn't matter. it just seemed like he was so disappointed. And it's like, you still got picked to play for a team, and that should be your dream anyway. I know you weren't you didn't go where you were expected to go, but I mean, these guys just, I think he was thinking with his pocket as opposed to, I got drafted in the second round. I got drafted. Thank God I got drafted. You know, he was like, I should have went, blah, blah, blah. It fuels my fire. I just didn't like how he handled that.
Well, he fired his agent today.
Wow.
I guess he was saying that he was misguided by his agent, that his agent actually told him or supposedly told him that he was going to get drafted first overall. And, yeah. So, I think he went into the draft thinking that he was going to be a first pick or maybe drop down to, like, the third or fourth pick. But he, I mean, not in his wildest dreams did he think he was going to go to the second round.
Right.
So, he fired his agent this morning.
Because that's his agent's fault.
Well, I mean, yeah, his agent wasn't out there throwing passes last year. I think it was Geno Smith.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of teams didn't need quarterbacks. There's a lot of free agent signings. Raiders got Flynn. I mean, a lot of people moving around. It really wasn't a need for a whole lot of QBs this year. And some of these guys are going to wait till next year with Manziel coming out. I mean, and, well, who knows where what teams are going to do this year. So I just say it wasn't a strong draft. People didn't need quarterbacks as years passed.
Yeah, you got to – I'm not a USC fan, but you got to feel bad for Barkley, man. That guy, like, went back for his last year. If he comes out in the 2012 draft with Luck and RG3, he's still, like, probably a top-five pick.
Yeah.
And he goes back and gets hurt, has a real bad year, and he dropped to, what, the fourth round? Was it, like, Chip Kelly and the Eagles who drafted him in the fourth round?
First pick in the fourth round, 98th overall. I think that sends a message to kids out there. Don't stay in school.
Oh, wow.
If you're talented, screw the education, right?
Wow. All right.
Andrew Luck stayed in school.
That's true.
Yeah, he did.
He also lost himself like $40 million because of the cap change, but I don't think he really is concerned.
Yeah, but he's a lot more talented than Matt Barkley. I think if you're talented and you got the goods, you're going to be fine. Look at Matt Leiner. He did the same thing Barkley did. He went back to school. And Matt Leiner really wasn't that good. Doesn't have a big arm, isn't mobile, obviously, doesn't run that read option, isn't necessarily considered like a Peyton Manning studier and stuff like that. Like, I would trust Matt Barkley actually over Matt Leiner. So I think the Eagles actually got good value there in the fourth round there. And you know Vic, if he's on the team and stuff and he's healthy, he's going to start. And then Barkley can just sit there for probably until Vic gets hurt, which will happen probably, week 5 or 6. And then you can throw Barkley out there with a little less pressure on himself and see what happens. So I like that by the Eagles.
Well, they also have Nick Foles they drafted last year too. So, I mean, they do have – two young guys. You know, it brings up a point about USC quarterback. So I just pulled it up because I'm thinking about all these guys that got drafted from USC quarterback-wise, all highly touted. So, I mean, you got Mark Sanchez, obviously a bust, so to speak, been given too many chances. You got John David Booty, who really is not playing anywhere. You got Matt Leinart, who obviously we knew what happened there, went to Arizona, didn't really play, and now he's searching for a job. Carson Palmer, I guess you can make a point that he was a decent quarterback maybe before the injury with the Bengals. He had a few good seasons with Hushmanzada and Ocho Cinco back then. But that's it. I mean, Todd Marinovich. I mean, you got guys that, you know, USC is an esteemed football school, but you look at their quarterbacks and they come out, they're highly touted, but they just don't perform. So I don't know.
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that it's a major market in Southern California with no professional football team. So USC is
that's
Southern California's professional football team. So, I mean, if it's a major market out there, they're going to get huge press. And I think that's why we all always have a false idea of how well these quarterbacks are actually going to be, because it's just everybody's like, Mark Sanchez is going to be – next coming to Joe Namath, and Carson Palmer is going to be the next Montana. It's because L.A. doesn't have a professional football team. So
yeah, and it's Hollywood, too. So it's all glamorized. And these guys are fitting the bill, too. They're coming out, and they're, you know, lack of a better word, they're pretty boys. You got, you know, Matt Sanchez, Leinart. You know, these guys are pretty boys. They're Hollywood. And they come out, and they, for whatever reason, they can't play. So they can't perform in the NFL. So it's maybe the trap. I mean, I'm going back. I mean, Rodney Pete. I mean, Sean Salisbury. I'm going back to 75 here. There hasn't been one like Super Bowl quarterback coming out of USC. Rob Johnson.
Rodney Pete was like the 90s, right?
Well, he went to USC in the 88. Yeah, so he was in the he played for the I know he played for the Eagles. He played for several teams, but
I think he was drafted by the Lions.
Yeah, he was bounced around, and he was pretty much a backup. I mean, it looks like he played for the Lions, Cowboys, Eagles. He was drafted by the Lions, so it's good knowledge. Eagles, Redskins, Raiders, and ended his career on the Panthers. And he had a pro neck beard. Like, he popularized the neck beard. Like, pro. That was what he's known for, is Rodney Pete neck beard. If you want to grow it and put it on Twitter, Rodney Pete style.
Right.
But I don't know what it is about USC. But, yeah, we'll see. And like I said in prior podcasts, they're going to figure it out. One of these guys can emerge, whether it be the guy you're talking about from Pittsburgh. I mean, that guy has an opportunity to – Pittsburgh's a run-first offense, and Roethlisberger gets hurt, like, every year, and Mendenhall is old. Mendenhall's not even on the team anymore. So, you know, you got nobody there. This guy can come in and get 20, 25 carries. So that might be the guy that really comes out, and then maybe Tavon Austin. So there's going to be guys that emerge.
Who is running the ball for Pittsburgh? I mean,
Dwyer. Dwyer was there. They had who was that guy last year? I'm trying to pull it up here. I know Dwyer got had a few decent games, but he got hurt.
Redman.
They had like three
Isaac
running backs
Redman.
Down. Isaac Redman. Yep, Isaac Redman. I'm looking at the depth chart right now. Jonathan Dwyer and Redman is the only thing they have on their depth chart right now. That's it.
It's going to be a second-round pick because I heard Coach Tomlin, he was like, oh, you just throw this guy's every situation back. And if you're a fantasy kind of player, that's you dream of your coach saying a coach saying that about a running back. Every situation means first down, second down, third down, goal line, short yardage, pass-catching situation, red zone, all and above. This guy apparently was in every situation back. This kid, if he stays healthy, which is always a big if for any running back or any guy in the NFL, if he stays healthy, he should get quite a few carries unless they sign some kind of free agent out of nowhere, which they might, but usually those veterans don't play very well, the older running back. So he should get a lot of looks because they had a lot of problems running the ball last year with Dwyer, even though Dwyer and Redman did okay, and what's his name, Mendenhall did okay, they really had a hard time running the ball effectively, and it was usually Ben in the shotgun kind of throwing to his receiver. And now that they lost Mike Wallace, there's going to be even a bigger emphasis to run the football. So whoever that second-round running back by the Steelers, I like him. I like buying his cards. I like him in fantasy. I like him just overall as long as he stays healthy, hopefully.
Yeah, and there looks like this is according to sportscarduncensored.com. They have a kind of a really premature list of about 22, 23 guys that haven't been confirmed, but it looks like he got it from some source here of guys that are going to be in the rookie premiere. I don't see any defensive guys yet, so Monty Teo is absent from this list, but I am pretty sure he will be in the final. Andre Ellington, Cordell Patterson, DeAndre Hopkins, E.J. Manuel, Eddie Lacy, Geno Smith, Giovanni Bernard, Jonathan Franklin, Joseph Randall, Justin Hunter. I know you guys are like, who? Keenan Allen, Marcus Wheaton, Matt Barkley, Mike Glennon, Monty Ball, Quentin Patton, Robert Woods, Ryan Nassib, Stephon Taylor, Tavon Austin, Terrence Williams, Tyler Bray, and Tyler Wilson. So it looks like about six or seven or eight QBs running. So this is all running backs, wide receivers, and QBs. So you know they'll have that Zach Ertz guy will be in there. You know they'll have Monty Teo. And actually, according to Tracy Hackler, Panini and Topps actually do communicate on who they pick for the rookie premiere with the NFLPA. So it's kind of a collaborative effort between the two card companies on who they decide is going to be invited to this rookie premiere.
Who did Stephon Taylor get drafted by?
Chargers?
Chargers. Man.
Stephon Taylor went to I was just looking it up yesterday. Stephon Taylor, right?
Yeah.
Spelled it with an F too. I can't find it. I'm sure people in the chat know here. We'll come back to that.
Yeah, I thought it was I want to say Bears, but I'm not 100% sure. But that kid, I mean, from Stanford, that guy was pretty good. I don't know if he's going to be a great like running back in the NFL, but he'll be definitely a good guy to have in a committee. And that's how most of the teams are doing it now. Teams are running two or three running backs now, pretty much every team.
Yeah, exactly. He's picked by the Cardinals,
Cardinals. All right.
Could be kind of interesting because, you know, they got Beanie Wells, they got Ryan Williams coming off an injury, LaRod Stevens-Howling. So they're kind of looking for a guy to step up. I mean, Beanie Wells has got injured every year. He's got, like, the worst knee ever. He plays for four games, and his knee swells, and he can't play for another four games, comes back, plays two games, knee swells again. So Stephon Taylor might step in, and he's quick. He's a quick guy, 4.5, I mean, and he's 5'9", 214, so he's a little beefy. So
yeah.
It might be a guy that can carry the rock 15 to 20 times. And who are they starting? And they don't have Cobb anymore. Carson Palmer.
Palmer.
So they might run the rock a little bit more this year with Palmer and try to open up the passing game a little bit. So that might be an interesting pick. He's a fifth rounder. That's how far he fell.
I thought that was a steal. Fifth rounder for Stephon Taylor. But I mean, again, we'll see. And I think all the guys that you named for Arizona, I think all those guys are going to get touches this year. I think every single one of those guys. Ryan Williams, I mean, has that guy was a rookie 2 years ago. Has he even played? Did he get
he
hurt again
last,
in preseason?
He got hurt again like week two last year.
Okay.
But he looked pretty good. But he got hurt. He was like somebody hit him real hard. I mean, it was a real big hit. He went down. He was out for the year. So,
The new coach they have really likes Ryan Williams. That's a buy low candidate if you're trying to find a cheap running back. I mean, I heard the coach, this is about a month and a half ago, the new coach they got was like, hey, if you have a back like Ryan Williams who's strong and blah, 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 was just talking, didn't mention anything about Beanie Wells or anybody else they had, but was talking about Ryan Williams. I was like, oh, hey, hello. So there's a buy low candidate, right? Buy low candidate right there. I mean, his cards have got to be dirt cheap right now.
Oh, yeah. He was a rookie premier guy, so he's in a lot of stuff. You can probably get, like, a nice gold standard auto or maybe even an NT, like RPA, for cheap. You're right. That would be definitely a good, strong buy-low candidate here, and especially right now. Right now is the best time to buy football cards on eBay. I mean, you can get some luck autos from Valor for, like, $120. I mean, it's cheap right now. It's it probably won't be cheap in a couple weeks. So I think right now if you're going to try to – kind of come up on some cards that you maybe look to either flip or add to your PC. Right now is a good time, for sure. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the Ryan Williams listings here. Yeah, all day, $4. RPA from Gold Standard, two color, $4. Triple Threads, one of one auto sold for $70. I mean, that's a 101. Cheap. I mean, there's so many unsold listings of his stuff right now. It's ridiculous. So you could probably – Contenders Auto, $375. Certified, Gridiron, all under $4, not selling. So, yeah, definitely maybe a guy. And Arizona's going to compete next year, I think. I mean, they're not going to be up there with Seattle and the Niners, but they may go 8-8.
There you go.
So, well, cool. Real quick, everybody's probably heard, but – our friend Mark Sapir is no longer with Topps, and no one knows the reason. But if you're not familiar with Mark Sapir, I don't know his official title, but I know he was running Topps' Twitter account. So do you know what his official title was at Topps? Was he the VP of sales?
Vice president of
Vice president of what?
Of the sports division.
Ah, so after 8 years, Mark Sapir, so we wish Mark Sapir well in his other endeavors, but there's going to be somebody else stepping in, and it seems like whoever's running their Twitter right now is sending out a lot more tweets, so very motivated Twitter person now. So maybe they have a separate person running their Twitter account, or like I told Ryan when we were talking earlier on the phone, you know when you get a new job and you're totally motivated for about a couple weeks? So we'll see. We'll see if the tweeting wears off, because they're answering people and tweeting out cards like 10 times more than they used to. So
there you go. New motivated employee. Younger and, you know, less well-paid and stuff. Sapir looked like he was well-paid, man. He has nice clothes on at the summit, presents himself well and stuff. So all I got to say to that, to Mark Sapir leaving, is don't let the door hit you on the way out. So there you go. Like ice cold. I'm just ice cold over here in Stockton. It was like 90 degrees just now. I'm just ice cold. So don't let the door hit you on the way out. Sayonara. See you later. And
we need a little Foreigner track. Cold as ice right there playing right now. Yeah, I mean, we've had our run-ins, and I think it was, Sapir was a guy that you beat a dog so many times, he's just going to react to everything. And unfortunately, I think he took things too personally on Twitter rather than just being more positive. That's my opinion with him, is that he should have just been more positive on things and not approach people the way that he did. So, but we'll see. We wish him well and hope all the best for his new endeavor, and hopefully less stressful, because it just seemed like the guy was stressed out all the time. So just, wish him the best. moving on to the this is our review, our award ceremony. I need to have some epic music for the award ceremony. This is the 2012 NFL products in review. We've gone through all of them. They all came out. There's one more release. It's exquisite, but we don't care about that one, so we're not going to touch on that one. Comes out way too late. Comes out when 2013's out. People are like, 2012? What the heck? So we're going to touch on...
When's that coming out? It's like, what, November or something?
They'll release it in 2014 for 2012.
Like, sometime around, Thanksgiving, it'll be out, 2012 product.
It's funny because I think a lot of people get duped into thinking, like, people bought 2011, they bought it last year, and they're like, okay, going for RG3 and Luck, and they're like, Cam Newton, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, like, where's my RG3 at? So it's interesting that they did that thing comes out so late. But all in all, it's all said and done, the dust cleared, 2012 football products, there was 37 of them. 37 football products came out this year. 15 by Topps, 19 from Panini, 2 from Upper Deck, and 2 from Leaf. So obviously Panini came out and, you know, had 4 more than Topps, but it was pretty even. It's pretty close to last year. I think last year we had 32 football products. So it was 5 more this year. New products this year, meaning that they didn't have it in any prior years. There were new introductions this year. It was Bowman Signatures, Strata, Valor, Panini Prominence, Panini Black, Panini Prism, and Momentum. So we had 7 new releases out of the 37. I guess you can call Fleer Retro maybe a new release. I don't know what you can call that besides crap. Looking at... I actually did some math here. So what I did is I actually did some research on pre-sale price compared to what the price is now. So and I did a percentage on how much each product went up. And it's pretty interesting. The numbers actually are pretty astounding. Dan, I already talked to Ryan about this, so he's going to know the numbers. What do you think was the best-selling percentage-wise football product of the year?
Best-selling or the value going up? Like the best.
It started at 50 and sells for 100 now, or that, like, points-wise, percentage-wise?
Let's see. That's a good question.
If anybody could answer this in the chat, like, the best-selling football product, because you're not going to get it. But the best-selling football product of this year, we'll give them a free spot in something. So if you can answer this one, spot your way. But it's a tough one.
Ooh. Damn. Could you give me a hint? Like, was it early in the release schedule, middle, end?
It was more in the middle.
You just said there was like 85 releases.
There was 37.
How many releases?
It was 37. Right, 37.
Yeah.
You're not gonna get it.
I'm gonna say momentum.
Momentum even the whole time.
I know I was wrong on that one.
Believe it or not, and no one got it in the chat, this was kind of a sucker bet on my part, so I'll give a spot away later in this anyway. Leaf, Vince Lombardi, best selling.
Oh.
Highest selling, 63%.
Yeah.
Started at
wow.
$75 on pre-sale. Boxes are selling for $180, $190 now. And you can't even find it. So it could be because there's limited print run. Maybe that's kind of the loophole on why it's the highest selling. But, yeah, $75 on pre-sale, and it's going for $180, $190 all day right now.
Only 172 cases made, 10-box cases. Very rare.
Wow.
It came out April 6, 2012, Vince Lombardi Legacy.
So
wow.
For those people that complain about, you know, Leaf products, Brian Gray, he knows what he's doing, man. He knows how to increase some value. And I think it was because Lombardi wasn't in a lot of things. I mean, he's iconic. They had some nice inscription cards in the set. So, yeah, that was 63% going down the list. You know, we do clown on tops here. But out of the top 11 products, 8 of them were tops.
Wow.
So, yeah, tops second, and you guys were close in the chat. Tops Chrome went up 60%. So it almost beat out Leaf. So 64% for Lombardi, 60% for Tops Chrome. Third, Tops Turkey Red, 36%. So, but that it was a $25 pre-sale box. It's up to $40.50 now. So it's kind of a easy jump. Believe it or not, Strata, fourth. 35%. Fifth, Topps Finest, 34%. Sixth, Topps Jumbo HTA, 34%. Seventh, the first Panini product, Panini Prism, 32%. Eighth, 2012 Topps Prime, 30%. Ninth, Bowman Sterling, 28%. Tenth, Topps Platinum, 26%. And 11th, just because I wanted to get another Panini product in here, National Treasures, 25%. So
wow.
eight out of 11 products on the top 11 2012 selling products are tops. Two Panini and then the one Leaf. But Leaf only had two. They only had that and Valiant and then Best Of. And, in fact, I didn't even do any research on Best Of. That jumped up pretty good, too. So, but that's kind of a buyback product, so it doesn't really count. And some other stats I put together here. Out of the 15 Topps products that were released, only 3 of them sold at the resale price or lost money. So 12 out of the 15 went up in price.
Wow.
Panini, 8 out of the 19 lost money or broke even.
So yeah, but only that had to have some – well, I mean, having MAP like most of the year – has to reflect on those numbers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because
it's not going to go up because of MAP.
Yeah. So, I mean, with MAP, they pretty much set the price of what it's going to sell for, and nobody was driving the price over MAP. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to compare those numbers because Panini did have MAP until what? Like, it was like National Treasures football is what they –
baseball, actually.
It was baseball where they stopped, but I don't think there was a football. Was there a football product after? I think there was. I think playbook and NT, right?
Yep, and playbook. Playbook's even right now. It hasn't moved up or moved down.
Yeah.
Could be the price point. But on the same level, Topps 5-star, it's still early, though. It's only up 3%. So far, National Treasures is beating 5-star in percentage increase so far. So if you want to compare the two high ends. But, it goes to say, we may rip on Topps customer service. I didn't like a lot of their football products. I liked some, but people still buy it. It doesn't matter. They could literally crap in a pack. They could literally crap in a pack, like literally. Crap in a pack, put it out there, and it's still going to go up in value. That's what these numbers say.
Yeah, that's crazy. I thought Panini did they had a great year with football products. I think there was very few products that I felt were subpar. They were just – it seemed like every product was pretty good for the value. You're getting a lot of value out of it. And I can't say the same about Topps. There was a couple of Topps products where I was like, these are the worst products of the year. So,
well, if you compare it to last year, I believe, I said 8 of 19. I believe it was almost all of them except for NT last year. So it was a huge improvement for Panini products value-wise. And I'm going by the secondary market numbers, which if you look at blowouts prices, that's about the secondary market. If you're out there going, how did he get these numbers? I looked at the pre-sale and I compared it to what it's selling at now. So that's not to say that momentum jumped up early in the season to 175. Now it's back down to 150. So it could have had a percentage increase early on.
But it did. Momentum, in particular, did go up to about, I think it peaked at like 175, 180, and then it came back down to like 150.
Right, right. So it is also time sensitive here. Obviously during football season, some of these products may have taken off. But, for example, limited football stayed even for a while, and it's up about 11% right now. So people are catching on to limited football as it starts drying up. So it's interesting looking at these numbers, though. I did not expect the Lombardi to be 64%. I thought Chrome – when I did Chrome first, and I was like, oh, 60%. Boxes pre-sold for 55 to 60, and now they're 120, 130. So it was, big jump. And it's a nice set. It was one of their better sets this year. So 60%. And that's like that for every year. It's going to be even harder to get 2013 Topps Chrome football than ever because the numbers have proven themselves every year. So.
Yeah.
But I want to get into some of the – so we're going to go ahead and give some awards. I've got my picks already. The categories that we have, and feel free to chime in. We got best base design, best looking autograph card, best rookie premier auto, and the person who signs, which guy signs the best, what's the best looking autograph, best memorabilia card, best value, best new set, best collation, worst product, worst base design, worst value, cheesiest product, and product of the year. So if you guys want to weigh in, I tweeted out today, and some people gave me some input. Probably should have had a poll on the site, but, wasn't planned out as well as it should be. But in my opinion, so I'm going to start with the base design. The best base design, in my opinion, and some people may not agree with me on this, is Gridiron. The reason being, it has the best action shots. The landscape design is amazing. It looks like an HD card. And you get a lot of base cards in a box, and it's just a great-looking set, in my opinion. So Dan, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I'm kind of a homer for these cards, at least like the base set. There's not tons of parallels, but Topps Prime with the full bleed, I love that set. That's one set I'm always stoked on, at least the base cards. I know the memorabilia pieces and the autos could be kind of dumpy. And like I said, there's not tons of parallels, but I love the full bleed look, kind of the thicker card stock. So that would be my favorite base set.
Yeah. And Ryan, did you have a way? I know you did. You haven't opened as much stuff as, but you've been doing checklists. Is there any kind of standout base set that you saw football wise that you went, wow, this is a nice looking card?
Whichever one is the shortest. So whichever one is like 500 cards. I think Upper Deck, they always have like 50. It's like a 50-card base set, and it's always like the same legend. So that's my favorite base set for sure.
honorable, men- honorable mentions for me is Chrome and Supreme. I think Supreme's base cards are really nice. There wasn't a whole lot of them, obviously, but I really like the Chrome, or I like the Supreme design, and some of those cards sold pretty well, those numbered cards. So I'm going into moving into best-looking autograph card. What do you guys think in the chat? My pick is Topps Chrome Camo Auto. I hate when they introduce new subsets that paint, you know, because I think it devalues the rest of the subset. But there was just something about getting that Doug Martin camo on card auto that we pulled in one of our cases that I thought, man, this is a sharp looking card. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, we're going autographs, huh?
Yeah, just autographs in general.
I really liked the die cut auto to books out of Playbook.
Yeah.
I know it's memorabilia as well, but the like kind of on acetate auto, it looks like they put a lot of thought process into designing those cards with like NFL logo and then the memorabilia on both sides. And yeah, that's my favorite auto design would be the Playbook acetate books.
And I have that as my honorable mention. I have that and Panini Black. And I know black's been done before. We've seen it in Upper Deck and stuff like that. But I did like the silver pen, gold pen on a black card. I think those cards really popped. And I'm talking about the RPA, not the sticker auto. I'm talking about the on-card rookie black auto. I think somebody mentioned in the chat here as well that they liked them as well. So, yeah, I like that. So that was cool. Moving on to the next category, best-looking player auto. I'm talking about all the 35 guys in the rookie premiere who had the best-looking auto.
Want me to go first?
Either one of you guys.
I already got mine. Nick Toon.
Ah, yeah. That's a good pick.
Nick Toon had a good auto. Has a good auto.
Yeah, Nick Toon, that's a good one. I'm going to go with I couldn't – this was such an obvious one. I had to pick RG3. I just love the way his auto looks. It takes time, you know, puts thought into his auto. People in the chat are saying Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck has a nice looking auto too. But Nick Toon, I'm impressed. I was thinking outside the box there. I like that. And Nick Toon does have a nice looking auto. Brian, did you have any?
Osweiler, the Broncos quarterback, isn't bad either.
Definitely a standout auto for sure. Yeah, Brock Osweiler. And the worst, we may all just agree on this one, the worst looking auto out of the rookie premier guys. Dan?
You know, you want me to say Michael Agnew, but you know, as the year went on and I was seeing more autos, and the guy's auto who started getting really bad at the end was Mohamed Sanu.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's auto just, I mean, it just got really bad. Like later on, as the products came in, I mean, as the products were released, it just got awful. So I'm going to say Mohamed Sanu, and I'm going to leave you guys with Agnew.
And that was my pick, Agnew. And he got, speaking of laziness, I mean, he got lazier as it went by. I mean, it looked like just a couple squiggles. I mean, you couldn't even make out that it was Agnew. I mean, it doesn't make it any better that there was no value to his cards, and everybody in the breaking industry says I got egged, and you know, I mean, it just goes along with that too. So there's a little bit more into just getting an egg new auto. It's like, oh man, sucks. So
there was a handful of really bad autos though. That Daryl Richardson, I know he wasn't in a ton of products, but he has a pretty bad auto.
Yeah, he has a bad one.
He has a tiny auto.
Yeah, and then there's just guys who are idiots that sign like Michael James. He actually missigned, and I'm a Niners fan, but he missigned on two different types of cards. He took the Panini Black card, and they sent him a gold pen, silver pen, whatever happened to that. He signed a black card with a black pen, so you can barely tell if. You can barely tell it's an auto there. I mean, it's like literally.
Oh, boy.
And then the acetate books that came out in Playbook, there's two sides that are acetate. One of the sides is a cutout for the jersey, and it's a real tiny spot. And then on the right side of the book is this big, you know, acetate piece So he decided to sign on the little side, as opposed to the clear NFL Shield logo behind the card. I don't know. Maybe he wants to be unique. I don't know. But it blatantly screams, I didn't go to college for the education. That's my opinion. And I'm no genius either. I didn't go to college either. But just I know they give these guys instructions, and whether or not they just go, I don't want to follow it or not. I mean, these are your fans that are collecting these cards. Like, you got to do it right for them. You got to make it so it's collectible. I mean, you're getting paid for it. Are they not paying you enough? So those guys.
What kind of running back he'll probably end up being, to be honest.
I know. Yeah. I want to know what his Wonderlic score is now.
Yeah.
Not to bring another sport in, but there's also Jamil Weeks from the A's that signed the National Treasures. You know how they have the RPAs and there's that clear white area underneath the RPA to sign? He signed on the patch, and he signed we pulled one that had like an A logo, so it had the little indent for the A, and he fit his name in the little tiny white area on that card. So it's not like if it was a full color white patch, I could see, okay, I'll sign on the white patch, you know. But it was actually a three-color A logo, and he signed, like, in between the little white. I mean, it was hilarious. I got to pull the video up. We laughed. It's like, come on, man. Like, seriously, you got to know where to sign. But I know we got off a little bit of a tangent. But moving on to the next category, this was a hard one for me. Best memorabilia card.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you go first, Doug.
You know, it was tough, and people may disagree with me on this, and I really thought that the NT one of one ball card was unique. So I'm gonna give it to that. People are gonna cry boo right now. They're gonna say that's not the right one, but there's just something about pulling that card. I know they're one of one, so they're rare, so we don't see a whole lot of them. But it's a ball. It's the NFL logo from the football, and it's a full size almost. And it's signed with silver pen. I thought it was one of the more unique memorabilia cards this year.
Yeah, you know how I feel about that set.
I mean, you don't like
that,
it. You don't like it.
Well, I mean, leave the auto off of it.
Yeah.
Just have it the ball. The auto actually ruined the look of the card. I don't know. You know, I'm gonna go limited. And limited had like it had the helmet relics,
yep.
And it had the glove and shoe and all that cool stuff. And there was a lot of like there was multicolored stuff in there as well. So I'm gonna go with limited for memorabilia.
And just to clarify, Dan is not looking at the chat because that's what people are saying in the chat. So you guys are all thinking on the same level. I'm looking at you guys in the chat. Dan is not in the chat, and he's agreeing with you. Helmets, yeah. I mean the Phenom patches. Those are nice too. That's one thing with Panini compared to Topps is that they actually did more unique things with memorabilia this year than Topps did. They tried something different. Right. Any thoughts on memorabilia in general from cards this year?
Definitely my favorite piece was From the Leaf Vince Lombardi set, the Vince Lombardi jacket. I think there were one per box. I mean, absolutely amazing. Big brown pizza jacket. So who
yeah.
wouldn't want one of those?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, it was and how many times do you get a jacket in a card, right?
Exactly.
Is that just because you have the Vince Lombardi page up right now?
I was looking at the Vince Lombardi page, yeah. You know, I don't open as many cards as you guys, so I'm used to, like, single-colored relic, like white piece of relics of you know, the offensive lineman on the Cardinals. So those are the type of memorabilia cards I pull.
I was just joking. But, yeah, that actually there was a topic on a forum about some of those cards on how they're so hard to get to. I mean, because now that the boxes have dried up for the Lombardi set, there was that one and there's like a Bart Starr. That's not a memorabilia card, but there's like a Bart Starr inscription where he wrote like a whole paragraph. And, like, people are saying they're, like, looking for those cards. They're selling for close to 1,000. So, yeah. Crazy for Leaf to bring out a set like that that's freaking killing it. Isn't there a Tom Landry, like, hat hat card. Speaking of memorabilia that's not jerseys, wasn't there like a hat card of Tom Landry? Because didn't he wear a he wore a fedora. He wore the fedora.
Yeah, are we hating on the fedora?
Well,
it's a good look, man.
For you, if I gotta keep it PG here. I was gonna say something, but I gotta keep it PG, and I gotta keep it. Yeah, maybe there's kids listening, so my thoughts on a fedora.
Just bringing the old school back, kid.
Tom Landry, Dan Landry, there you go. Or Dick Tracy, there you go. honorable mentions for best memorabilia card, in my opinion, was the Sterling box topper. I don't know how they did it, because every box topper was like three colors. So I don't know how they got all those jerseys, for one, but the box topper. And it pains me to say it, but the Strata clear cut, the shadow box one, I think it was number 15. It was a good idea. I didn't like Strata, don't get me wrong, but that was what people loved about it, was the clear cuts. So best value, I got to go with momentum. Best value, 10 hits. $150, $200 a box. You may get some dumpy 6th and 7th round autos, but you're going to get 10 hits. Buy a pack, get a hit. 10 hits. There's nothing that's came out that has 10 hits. I mean, Sterling has 12, but it's at a much higher price point, $300 a box. So I think best value, momentum. You get one of those Luck Griffin RPAs. You can get Montana. Got a pretty good collation. So best value, Dan. What do you think?
I'm going contenders, and I know there was a lot of, like, sticker autos, and it's usually majority on-card autos. But you were getting, like, 6, maybe even sometimes 7 autos a box. And, tons of base, and you get some parallels, and good-looking set, and highly collectible. Like, the rookie cards that you want to get, the on-card contender autos. So I'm going to go with the contenders at, like, $100 a box, $120 a box.
Yeah, I mean, you take a chance. I mean, obviously, there's a bigger. My problem with that is it's 200 rookies. So you know the chances of getting the big name guys are harder. But yeah, you hit on one of those guys.
Yeah, but you get also the SPs and like the photo variations and all that stuff, which also
you're wrong.
I'm wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong. Momentum was good. But I can't just copy you. I got to come up with something else. So,
I know. No, I can pick contenders. Because, well, the good thing about contenders is that's the rookie card you're going to want.
That's what I just said.
Yeah. You didn't say that. I said that. I made that up.
No, you're wrong.
honorable mentions for me, Sterling and Gridiron. Gridiron. This is what I want companies to do next year. Like, let's, like, leave it open of the possibility of having a box that has more than 4 hits. Like, say that there's going to be 4 hits, but then put that possibility of a hot box in there. I don't know why more people don't do that. Because if you're – maybe this is a box breaker talking, but it's a bummer when you're opening, like, Prism and you get the 2 autos. You're done. You're done. I mean, you can hope for a gold, but you're done. I mean, there's nothing else coming. So let's bring back the idea of maybe they can even do it one in every 50 boxes. You get a hot box or something. It doesn't have to be one per case. It doesn't have to be 3 per case. But let's, like, bring back the possibility of you getting an extra hit. Topps does it when they mess up. They do it on a mistake. Panini.
Well, I was going to say, good idea, but why don't you do it the opposite way? How about a non-hot box, like a box that only has 2 hits in it? So then when you get that one, like, say you get, like, a crappy box, but you're like, at least I didn't get the non-hot box and only got 2 hits.
Setting yourself up for, you know, being happier when you get a box.
Exactly.
Yeah, I could you're thinking outside the box there. No pun intended.
Well, I mean, it's a lot cheaper for the manufacturers to do that, too. You just got a short hits.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, just no stated odds. No stated odds on the box. But
there you go.
Yeah, so, yeah, best value, Sterling Gridiron. But, yeah, bring back the hot box. Best new set, I'm going to go with momentum. It was close with Balor. I know people hate on Balor, but I think the best – and I know momentum was around prior years. It's not completely new, but it wasn't in 2011. So I'm going to go with best new set was momentum, and it came out early. It came out real early in the season, so they didn't – they had a lot of sticker autos and stuff. So I'm going momentum, and close second was Balor. I think Balor was just a little bit too high priced from the get-go. But I actually didn't expect much from Balor, and I was quite impressed with Balor.
Yeah, Balor was solid. I still feel that the Balor design looks a lot like the five-star design, at least like the background of it. Like the color scheme is really similar.
Yeah, I hear you there.
But you do – but, I mean, I've already said that is like the product that people are going to be chasing – halfway, as soon as football season starts, everything else is going to be dried up. Five stars going to be dried up. NTs going to be dried up. People are going to be going after Balor next.
Yeah,
because I thought that was really a really good value. A lot of vet autos. A lot of vet redemptions too. But a lot of vet autos. You know, it was a good looking set. You're right. I mean, out of the gate, I think the price point was just a little too high and. It just came out at the wrong time. If it would have came out earlier in the season, it would have been a huge hit.
Well, I think that was their intention. That was their intention because he came out the wrong time, right?
Just came out too late, too close to NT and five star, where it pretty much got swept under the rug. But that is a product to watch out for because I think that's going to go up.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you can get boxes super cheap, like $120, $115 right now. So. Moving on to best collation, I got to give it up to Limited Football. Collation meaning vets, legends, rookies, not just a rookie-based product. Limited Football, I think, had it all. I mean, you got Cut Autos, you had Lettermans, you had, you know, guys like Jim Kelly, you had guys, I mean, old school. I mean, every case we've opened, is just there's been something new. There's been a player that you haven't seen, a design that you hadn't seen. And I think it's best ingested in multiple box form because I know you've opened one box, get three hits, could be – three dumpy hits. I mean, that's just how it goes. But I think seeing it by the case, the best collated product this year, I think, in my opinion, is Limited Football.
Yeah, Limited was solid. I think it'd be a tie with me with Limited and Valor. Valor had more veteran autos than I've seen in any product, at least, especially like one pack of card product, like whatever, how many hits, like four or five hits, I think it has. It seemed like it had a vet auto in every box.
Yeah.
Tons of legend stuff, but definitely some vet stuff.
I agree. Moving on to the worst categories, worst base design, Strata. Plain and simple. The base should have been, it seemed like it was like the triple play of baseball or a triple play of football. It was just like, I don't know. I think they tried to do too much with it. It's like little metal in the background, but it just didn't work for me. So Strata, worst base design.
I'm going to go Magic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of cheesy too.
Bowman signature.
Yeah. Kred, throw up in your mouth. Oh man, that was like, I think what did we coin it earlier in the podcasting? We said it was like Inception had made a baby with Magic, and then out came Bowman signatures, and it was like, God, some of the guys, it was like they weren't even in. It was just like a guy you couldn't even tell who was on the car. It was like a brown jersey. It was like crazy.
Gross.
That was a bad. That was very gross. That was like,
you know what's gross though? It was better than the product it was replaced. Rookies and Rising. Remember that shit from 2011? God, that was crap. And Bowman Signatures was crap too. It was the worst product Top came out with football wise, but it was still better than Rookies and Rising.
Yeah.
So they're getting a little better, and I think Bowman, they're coming out with just regular Bowman this year, which actually looked decent. They're going to have the parallels. They're going to have, it's like 40 cards per pack or something ridiculous, like 50 cards a pack or something. So it'll probably have a bunch of rookies and stuff, and it should be an interesting set
So hopefully they're getting better with this first release football stuff that they do.
I know. And you're right on the head there, is that they're just like, let's beat Panini to the punch. Let's get the first product out. And it's like they put it out. It's like, there's no R&D. That's just that picture looks good. Go ahead. Good. We need it out. We need it out. It's like, crap. It's like, just wait a couple weeks. Make a better card. So you notice that Panini is first out this year, but Topps has been first out the last 2 years. So I think Topps is like, we're done, son. We'll go ahead, Panini. Put out Score. We'll wait and put out this Bowman. So I think that the rush to market is a thing of the past with Topps. So
I like how Panini is putting the Score like branding on it though, like. Because if it,
don't expect much.
Well, what does everybody, when people think of Score, what do they think of? They think of, like, you know, extremely low-end product.
Right.
So, I mean, Panini probably looks at it and they're like, well, the perception of this product could only go up, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, somebody really going to go, man, Score last year with 36 packs a box and no guaranteed hits was way better than this year. Well, that's
right.
Probably not going to happen.
Yeah, because if it comes out and it's a dud, you got to go back and say it's Score football.
Well, yeah, exactly. They can always go, oh well, it is what it is. So,
yeah.
but if it's a hit, it adds value to that brand, and then they can start producing other products with the Score name on it, and people just don't assume it's like a super entry level low end product.
Yeah. Moving on to worst value, I think there's a clear-cut winner. I think you're going to agree with me here. Triple Threads football was the absolute worst value this year. I mean, hands down. $190 a box, you're getting 10 bucks back and a slap on the ass. And tears, just tears. I mean, it was just like it was bad, man. I mean, it was like – and they didn't – you think of Triple Threads, you think of old school, you think of – you know, Sanders, you think of Montana, and those guys were so few and far between this year, but there was a lot of Agnew, there was a lot of Alshon Jeffrey, and I don't think that's what Triple Threads, for $190 a box and you're getting four hits, I mean, you need to put a $50 hit in every box. I mean, come on. You can't put this $10 crap in there and number it to 99. So worst value, top Triple Threads football.
I have to agree on that. I just like the mental image of like people just sitting in line handing Topps $190, getting a slap on the ass, and then just walking out with their like three Agnew autos crying. That's a good image. I like it.
it's $190. It's sticker auto. So I mean, for $190 a box, you can get a box of Momentum that has 10 hits. You can get at one point you could have got two boxes of Chrome, which would give you, you know, two on-card autos.
Even the book cards were, like, dumpy. I mean, you'd get, like a book card with one giant piece of single color and then a little on-card auto. Still worth, like,
yeah,
maybe 30, 40 bucks. I mean, everything about that product was pretty, pretty bad.
Yeah, base was bad. That could be a front runner for worst base design just based on the price. It was better looking than Strata, but I mean, your Strata boxes were $70. So, but yeah, it was, and they had the bases like numbered to like, God, it was $689 or something disgusting. It was like crazy. Like, why even number a card if it's over $500? It's like no point. Like, especially in a triple threat high end set, like don't even number it. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, and I agree with you guys in the chat. Triple Threads baseball is good. It's always good. It's always been good. But football, the last 2 years, even 3 years, not been good. They need to do something different with it this year. Maybe throw in six hits. You know, at $190 a box, it may be a little, might not be as bad if you get $30 in return as opposed to 10. You know, so God. So and that stuff, going back to it. You know, that set, based on how it went up, that went up 16% from presale. So as bad as it was, it's still, like I said, it goes back to the point where you could literally just put crap, like literally just crap in a pack and put it, call it triple threat, people buy it. Doesn't matter what's in it. It's ridiculous. It's just people will buy it no matter what it is. So 60.
I think the branding, it transitions over from baseball because it's like a staple. It's like a trademark. It's always a great product, and a lot of people collect baseball and football. So I think the branding of that just kind of goes into football. So people are like, man, Topps Triple Threads baseball is amazing. I'm just going to go try a box of Triple Threads football. And it's, you just don't get the same value at all.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the next category is we're still on the worst. So I think we just go to worst product. I think that's the next one. Worst product of the year. And
Bowman signatures.
Like yep. Bowman signatures. And I would say Strata. But people were buying it still. That didn't even go down. That's like that was 5% Bowman signatures. So Strata was my worst product of the year.
Strata was really bad. The Bowman crappy product, Bowman signatures was pretty damn bad. But I'm just gonna go with Topps sticker dump magic.
Yeah, that was the Topps sticker dump.
That was obviously like, this is what we have left. Let's go ahead and just make a product.
It was magical how the stickers came from the vault and got on cards. That's what's magic about it.
And the funny thing is I mean, every box we opened, the autos were in the same exact spot.
Yeah.
And that was not just in our cases. That was like across the board. So, I don't know. It just, quality control, not so much. I know they had Kaepernick. They obviously had a bunch of Kaepernick leftover stickers from his rookie premiere.
That was by mistake. They didn't. They packed out that product 4 or 5 months before he probably started, and they were just like, oh well, we'll throw it on there, and then they hit a home run, like not even thinking about it. It was just like a dumb luck.
Yeah, it was a bad design.
I feel bad because we're just ripping on Topps, but they're sitting back there laughing. They go, "Well, we still made money, so whatever. Say what you want."
They killed it. They killed it, and obviously, like, we're in the minority because people are buying their products like crazy. And I mean, like I said, I like their products. I like their baseball a lot more than I like their football. I think Panini does football better than Topps does football, but that again, I think I'm in the minority there. I don't know. Like, obviously we're ripping on them, but they're doing something right.
Yeah. And then moving on to the next category is cheesiest product. And there's already been some aforementioned products, but I'm going to throw one in the mix. That's going to maybe throw somebody for a wild card. Prominence. Thought it was cheesy. Too much. They took die cuts to a new level. They were just like, we're going to die cut everything. Everything's die cuts. Let's die cut these 180 point cards. Let's die cut this jersey card. Let's die cut everything. Die. It should have been called Panini die cuts.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Am I the minority here?
No, I don't know. I feel what you're saying. Crown Royale, maybe. They kind of went over. I know the base cards are always die cut. They always look the same, but it seemed like even the inserts had like ridiculous die cuts. Remember like crazy die cut, extreme die cut,
die cut.
So, and I'm ripping on die cuts now, but 2 years ago I was like screaming that they should put die cuts in every product.
And now they listen to you.
Now it's overdone. Too many die cuts. Let's get back to card regular.
Yeah, I agree. And then Bowman signatures. We beat poor Bowman signatures to a pulp now. So cheesiest product. Helmets, rubber helmets. So cheesiest product, Bowman signatures. All right, product of the year, ding, 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 product of the year. I have to go limited football. I have to go limited. I think it was product of the year. I know other sets sell better than some of the RG3s and Lux coming out of limited. I love the the membership autos. I love the pigskin autos. The cut autos were great. The Phenom patches. It did have a lot of redemptions. I'll give them that. That was probably the downfall of Limited. But overall, I think it's just a great value. You buy a case, you're almost guaranteed to get an RG3 Luck or a Wilson in a case. So, and plus, just all kinds of crazy stuff that you wouldn't get in something else. So a very close second to mine would be Topps 5-Star. I actually really like Topps 5-Star this year, but I think I got to give it to Limited Football.
Are we doing product of the year, huh?
Product of the year.
Bowman Signatures.
Classic.
Nah, I gotta go. I gotta go. I don't know. Like, I really liked opening Best of Football. That was a lot of fun, and I know it's like a buyback product, but I mean, it was straight to the point, and it seemed like it had really good value. I'm not going to say it was product of the year, though, but I just honorable mention. I think that was a fun product to open. I gotta go 5-Star.
Wow.
I gotta go 5-Star. Limited's a close second. Now, if 5-Star starts going up like an extra $100, then I'm changing it. I'm going Limited. But of right now, where the product's at and how much it's going for, it's really good value. I know it's high end, but you're kind of getting what you pay for. And they after last year's release of 5-Star, I mean, they improved it tenfold. So I'm gonna go 5-Star.
All right. Well, that rounds out pretty much the award ceremony. Next time I'll have some fancy music and maybe, you know, we'll have like the red carpet and stuff, and maybe we can get celebrities or something to do the awards. I don't know.
Did we get Ryan's product of the year, or was it really Bowman Signatures?
I think it was Bowman Signatures. Football product of the year, actually, for me, would be regular Tops, because it actually, I think, sets off the rest of their products. I think it sets off the Tops Chrome. They had the Captain's patches that were in the retail blaster boxes.
Added
value. They had the Tall Boy cards that I think people really enjoyed. They had the Tall Boy autographs. That's where the camo cards originated, the pink breast cancer awareness parallels. It's just a really big set. It's actually the cards that are the most collected because they're so cheap and they're available everywhere. And a lot of people get introduced to football cards because of that set. And I think it's just so much more well done than Prestige and Score, which are Panini's kind of low-end brands. I think Panini does the mid-range brands very well, and a couple of their high-end National Treasures is very nice. But I think Topps really does very well with these $1.99, $2.99 price point. Sometimes Topps Platinum, I thought, sucked. Finest is a little more expensive than that, but I just think regular Tops, it kind of shows off what you're going to get in Chrome. And there's some value there, not maybe if you're breaking a case or anything crazy like that, but there's just for people who don't have a lot of money, they can build a set. They can go after some of the more expensive rare cards if they want to. But it exposes people from young collectors all the way up to really old collectors to football cards more so than some of these really expensive sets. And then the boxes dry up like crazy on these pretty much every product except for, you know, some of these regular kind of Tops Bowman. So there should be plenty of Bowman Signatures floating out there. You still want to get into that.
the funny thing is that product, because nobody knew what to expect, was extremely pre-ordered and heavily allocated.
Oh, we paid a buttload of money to get some boxes, like way more than any human being should pay.
I think right before the release, we ended up paying market value at a distributor, and I want to say it was like in the $180 to $200 price point a box.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's $100 now. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of took a bath on Bowman's signatures. So, yeah, I mean, someone made some money on it.
Yeah, well, it's that back to that allocation thing. But I have to agree with Ryan. You know, it seems like Topps does put a lot more thought process in flagship. It seems like they got all the cool inserts, the coins, the Super Bowl MVP pins, the rookie premier photo shoot autos, the camos. It seems like a lot more thought is put into that. And it seems like by the time that comes out, it's like the rest of it, there's like no R&D. It's just like no inserts, no nothing. It's like, but yeah, they like really do a good job on their base flagship sets. And then, you know, the rest of it is just, yeah, we'll see. We'll see this next year what happens with their stuff. I wanted to do a quick giveaway because we're getting short on time here. I can't believe we talked about this for over an hour. That's crazy. But I want you guys to go on. So the contest, you're going to have to go on sportscardradio.com, and you're going to have to go on to the Panini Past and Present Basketball Checklist. Comes out tomorrow, and I want you to give me base card number one, the base card. Who's number one in the set? Call into the show, and you're going to win a spot in Panini Black Football tomorrow. We're doing a Panini Black Football case random tomorrow. So if you don't know the number already, it is 347-855-8815. We're just going to take the first caller, 347-855-8815. Call in with the past and present base card number one. So you got to go to Sports Card Radio for that.
Can I add something to this? Can somebody call up and I've been in my car. Somebody can tell us what the score of the Nuggets Warriors game is. That'd be great.
Oh, I can tell you that right now. I can tell you. What are you gonna give them? 36-22 Denver.
36-22.
Yeah.
Oh.
36-22 Denver. I'm on ESPN right now. Looks like it show a little. Stephon Curry here. So, all right, looks like we got a caller. 402, what's going on?
What's going on, guys?
Ryan?
Yeah, it's Ryan again.
Hey, man. Lucky winner. So who's the past and present number one on the checklist?
Sean Marion.
Ding, ding, ding. Got a winner. So you will get a spot in Panini Black tomorrow. So we'll get you in that. And thanks for your input in the chat, too.
Yes, for sure.
We appreciate it, man. Well, we'll get you in that random and check our schedule for the time. And hopefully we get you something nice.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
Cool.
Thanks.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
And just so you guys know that are listening, if you want to get in a break, we got four of them going on tomorrow. We got Panini Prism Baseball going down. There's a few teams left. That's team style. We got a MLB Boom, which is it's a pretty sweet little mixer. That one's going down at 2 Pacific, and it's a five-star baseball, tribute baseball, Sterling 2012, Sterling 2010, and 2008 Top Sterling, all as one random style mixer. $68, we're throwing out two teams. We're also doing a case of the newly released, well, I guess it's not newly, it was last week, Panini Preferred Basketball. We're doing a case random of that. And, I mean, you're looking at some sweet die cuts, chances of Kyrie, all random styles. If you go to mojobreak.com and use the code MOJOBREAK to save 10%. It doesn't work on the randoms, but it works on any of our team style breaks. So, and make sure you check out Sports Card Radio as well. If you want to know what's in Bowman 2013, you want to see what prospects you may want to start collecting, they got the checklist up. You can check out the new past and present, as Ryan did, to see who's going to be in that. They actually got some really cool Elusive Ink autographs. B.J. Armstrong, Horace Grant, Byron Scott, Glenn Rice, Doug Christie, Keith Van Horn, Eldon Campbell, Sam Cassell, Spud Webb, Scott Skiles. That's what I love about past and present is they bring back some guys that you just don't normally see. Luke Longley. So,
dude, that's my era. What's up?
They should call that NBA Jam.
Sam Cassell? They should call it NBA Jam.
I love it.
Charles Oakley, Kendall Gill, freaking Fat Lever, Jack Sigma, Willis Reed. So there's some pretty cool, along with the rookie classes in there too. And then they also did something I got to see in person. I don't know if I like it, but it's a headband set. It's not an authentic headband. But what they did is they took a full face shot of a player. And I'm looking at Dirk Nowitzki here. And they took the headband that he wears and they made it like fuzzy. So we'll see how those look.
Interesting.
And they got the shattered ice and stuff like that. And it's three autos a box. Pretty good value, too. It's like $79 a box, $80 a box, I think. And we got a break that we just put up of it by team on our site, too. So
It was a good product last year. It seems like it didn't – it came out. It couldn't have come out like a whole calendar year ago, right? I mean, it feels like 8 months ago, six months ago.
I was breaking it in my kitchen, so I think it's been about a year.
Eating some pizza, breaking some cards?
Yep. Hey, it's better than breaking. About. Better than breaking in the bathroom.
That's true.
That would be hilarious if somebody just does a video. It's like, couldn't wait. Got to break these boxes. I'm on the toilet.
That's the new box break niche, is break it in your bathroom. You know, like, I want to be different. I'm going to stand out. So I break it in my bathroom, fool. 50K's the Bowman. Sign up. It's spot.
I got to go ahead and buy bathroombreaker.com right now. I'll buy that one. Toilet breaker. Urinal breaker. Maybe we can start a phenomenon called flash breaking. You just start going to public places where people are eating, you start just opening boxes, like right in front of them.
Yeah.
Like, go to McDonald's, these people are just eating their Big Macs, you just plop a box of Bowman signatures down, and you just start filming it, and they're just like looking at you, you're opening cards, and you're going boom when you get the hits and stuff.
Boom, I got Michael Agnew! Look at this!
You can
film people's reaction, dude. That'd be hilarious.
I think that's what we're going to be doing this weekend.
Oh, man, that was flash breaking. That's somebody's going to steal that idea. We got to start patenting that one. Well, I think that pretty much does it for the show. We're actually running out of time here on Blog TV. So I thank everybody that did listen to our award ceremony. Thanks, Ryan, for calling in. Make sure you guys check out sportscardradio.com, mojobreak.com, and we'll be back next week. Maybe do a preview of Bowman, so maybe a little more details will come out, and we'll be able to talk about some past and present. We'll talk about preferred next week as well, because we kind of ran out of time this week. So other than that, I think we're all set. You guys have anything else to say? Anything you'd like to talk about?
No, it's good. Let's do it.
Sounds good. All right, guys. Well, thanks again, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace out.
All right. Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by sportscardradio.com, mojobreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.